Would you take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Luke, the 5th chapter. I want to start reading with the 12th verse. And while you're doing that, some of you might not know who my darling, lovely wife is. And that's Miss Mary Ann sitting right over there. Hold your hand up, darling. And she is, I'm going to tell you what's the truth. I got a foxy wife. Amen. I'm going to tell you the truth. I got a good looking wife. Somebody say amen to that. Yeah, they can. I give them permission. But I'm glad that she's as much a part of this ministry as I am, that she's bought into it lock, stock, and barrel. And I work a full-time job doing this. She works a full-time job down in Columbus, about to be Phoenix City. And still, she follows me all over the countryside doing this. And not many times that you see me that you don't see her. And I appreciate that. I really do. Luke 5, starting with verse 12, if you would, please stand in honor and respect to the reading of the text scripture. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show him thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Now, this is not my sermon, but this just jumps out at that 17th verse. You had all kind of Pharisees, scribes, doctors of the law there. Says the power of the Lord was present to heal him. Amen. To heal him from religiosity. Amen. But they wouldn't. But anyway, that's not my sermon tonight. I want you to pray with me. As y'all are getting, Lord, somebody's been praying. Because the Lord's had my teacup turned over. And I tell you what, you're getting the first run of another one tonight. And this I have entitled, A Pharisee's Guide for Frustrating the Work of Jesus, or subtitled, How to Kill a Church in 7 Easy Steps. Amen. You pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, I thank you for the portion of your Holy Spirit that I've already encountered and already enjoyed by just being in this place tonight, Lord. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us all to be at our place at the table tonight, Lord, as the supper is served from, Lord, your precious kitchen. Lord, help us to partake and to be strengthened. Rebuke us, Lord, where we need rebuking. Lord, encourage us where we need encouraging. God, strengthen us, I pray. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to anoint me to do, Lord, what I know you've called me to do in life, Lord, to preach this gospel. And I ask for that anointing afresh and anew tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, for the anointing on this church. Lord, that you'd just station your angels around this place that the wicked one couldn't hinder. And sweet Holy Spirit, you'd just have full control in here. And Lord, that you'd anoint us that we might be listeners, might be attentive to your word, that we might be hearers, that we might really absorb it. And God, then that we might be doers of what we've heard here tonight. And Lord, I pray tonight if there be one who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, that this would be the night, God, you'd draw them to you. And Lord, if there be those who've grown cold and indifferent, God, draw them back. And Lord, whatever needs to happen, save souls, change lives, send revival for this church, I pray, in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. A Pharisee's Guide for Frustrating the Work of Jesus, or How to Kill a Church in 7 Easy Steps. In Luke 5, miracles are happening like corn popping in a popper. Before Jesus gets through with one, another one's happening. And before he gets through with that one, another one seemingly is happening. And Jesus hardly finishes one before we see him involved in another. It starts with the great catch of fish on the Lake of Gennesaret in verses 1 through 10. And then in verse 11, we just see where the disciples are surrendering. They're leaving their fishing business, surrendering it all to follow him. And then verses 12 through 17, you'll see where he healed a man the Bible said was full of leprosy. In verses 18 through 20, we see him healing a man that had been taken with the palsy, the same man that you'll remember they tore the roof off to get to him. In verses 27 through 29, we see him calling Levi and then dining with the publicans and the sinners. And then we see him in chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. We see him healing a man's hand that was withered. Man, everything was happening. It was like static electricity, an exciting time to be there. However, in all the miracles and events, with the exception of the great catch of fish, there's one thing that is constant through every one of these. And that being that the scribes, Pharisees, and the experts of the law are there to hinder the work of Jesus in every one of them. Now let me show you some things tonight. When he healed the man with the leprosy in verse 17, it records, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Boy, underline that and circle that. Sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I'll be back to that in a little bit. Secondly, we see when he healed the man of the palsy in Luke 5:21. And the scribes and the Pharisees, there they are again. And they begin to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And then we see the third, when he healed the man with the palsy. It's further recorded in Luke 5:26. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Then when he called Levi and ate with the publicans, it's recorded in verses 30 and 33. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And then in verse 33, and they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink. And then in Luke 6:1, we see when he and his disciples plucked and ate corn on the Sabbath. It's recorded in verse 2. And certain of the Pharisees, there they are again, they're everywhere. And they said unto him, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? In Luke 6:6-10, when he had healed a man with a withered hand, we find in Luke 6:7, and that the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find accusation against him. And then finally, after all this, we find in Luke 6:11, it says, and they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Now I want you to notice the progression that you've seen in the scriptures by the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, the doctors of the law. First you saw they were just sitting by. But then as it progressed, they began to reason. And then they became amazed, glorified with God, but were filled with fear. And then they murmured, and then they began to make verbal accusation, and then they watched him, and then they were filled with madness, trying to come up with ways to stop him. Now let me say to you tonight, you have before you tonight in this scripture that I've given you a Pharisee's guide to hindering the work of Jesus, or seven easy steps that will kill a church. Amen. Now listen, let me ask you tonight. Do you want to hinder the work of Jesus? No. I don't either. But sometimes we do it. Somebody say amen right there. You know what the biggest problem in the church is? The church.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
It's not the folks outside that's going to stop the work of the church.
Right.
But it's the folks that's inside the four walls that will ultimately stop the work of the church if it's to be stopped. Amen. I want to examine tonight seven ways that the Pharisees tried to hinder Jesus' work. And the very first thing I want you to see, if you're keeping notes, it's this. Those who were sitting by. In verse 17, I'll read it again. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. His fame had gone round about. All these great miracles that was happening, it was drawing people to him like a magnet. You see, Jesus, the very Son of God, is fully engaged in his mission here on this earth. And he's in the miracle working business. And brother, it's just exuding out of him left and right. Boom, bang, bing, everywhere he's going, something's happening. And I'm going to tell you what, as it was back then, when Jesus shows up, he shows out. Amen. Now I want you to know something. We serve the same Lord today. And if you'll let him show up in your life and in this church, he'll begin to show out and you'll see things happening you didn't think would ever happen. Buddy, it was on. Amen. Things are happening in rapid fire succession, and the power of God is being manifest mightily. But right there in the midst of this hallelujah time, there they are. I call them Satan's mafia. You've seen them. They're the ones that's just sitting by or just standing there. I'm going to share something with you tonight I don't think I've ever shared in a sermon before. Number one, I'm not proud of it. And number two, I never had an opportunity or an occasion to. But this sermon tonight, this actually happened. You see, in my life before Jesus, you see, if you were raised in my family, the motto was not if you were going to play something musical, and it wasn't if you were going to do it. It was only which instrument you were going to play. You had to learn how to play something. I play the guitar. As a byproduct of that, I also play the bass guitar. Well, when I was unsaved coming up, the music was all it was to me. I eat, drink, and slept music. In fact, before I married my wife, I graduated high school. All I was doing was playing with the band. And my mama came to me, well-intentioned. She said, son, said, you're spending entirely too much time with those boys in the band. Said, you need to be dating. Can't you find you some nice young lady that you can date? She didn't know that about 2 weeks later I'd meet Marianne, and 6 months later we'd be married. And she come to me before we got married. She said, boy, I said date. I didn't say go crazy. But let me tell you something. In my other lifetime, I was still in the world and I was part of this band. I was part of a house band at one of the nightclubs in LaGrange. And we were pretty good. But we went to play one night in an African-American nightclub. And me, my then brother-in-law, and a boy named Johnny were the only three white people in the whole club. And Johnny began to flirt with this young black lady. And we all told him, said, quit that, boy, you fool, you're going to get us killed. He was an idiot. He was a straight-up idiot. He kept on going, kept on flirting with her. You know what? The next thing I knew, I was back on the band stage, back there playing my guitar, and I looked up. And all of a sudden, to my horror, was two extremely tall, large, muscular black gentlemen with trench coats on, with them pulled fully too, with their hand in the trench coats, and they had just walked up and stood right in front of the bandstand, right in front of our organist and lead singer. I knew what it meant. Everybody in the band knew what it meant. Don't ever say things can't get worse. Because instead of them just standing there, all of a sudden I'm back in the back watching, and all of a sudden our organist reaches in his pocket and pulls out a loaded pistol and lays it up on the organ from the sea. And I thought to myself, oh my God, and I began to pray, God, don't let me die in an African-American nightclub. My poor white mom and daddy never would get over it. Do you know what? I said all that to say this. They just come down, they just stood there, that's all they did. And you know what? It stopped the show. Hey, come on, go with me now. It stopped the show. We stopped playing. We broke down. We got out of there while we could. You say, why did you say that? My point is this. They brought the show to an end just by standing there, or by sitting by, if you will. Now, let me ask you this. How many in our churches today are bringing the work of Jesus Christ to a screeching halt just by standing there, just by sitting by, just by doing nothing, when the work of God is trying to go forward? Well, help me somebody. Amen. Listen, that's the biggest scourge that we've got on ourselves today, as folks who've been born again, bought by the blood, no better, but are simply in neutral, sitting by. Oh, help me just a little bit, folks. We got too many folks that want to say, well, I done paid my dues, preacher. Let me beg your pardon tonight. I don't see your picture on the cross of Calvary. I don't believe we paid our dues tonight. Our dues aren't paid until we enter over into the promised land. Hallelujah. There is no quit. Amen. Brother Aaron, you ever going to retire? Oh, I might retire from this little job I got. But I'll be preaching the day they come get me. Amen. I hope. Hallelujah. You know, Billy, it wouldn't bother me just to have a whoop over here and a whoo over there on the other side. Amen. Well, glory. But too many are just standing by, sitting by. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this word sitting. I looked it up as I was preparing for this sermon this afternoon. And it has another word that it can also be used as from the original translation. And it's the word reside. Now let that sink in a minute. It makes the reader understand that this religious bunch that was just sitting by, they weren't like that song you were singing, brother. They didn't just stop by on their ways home. Do you know what? They were permanent fixtures. They were there to hinder the work of the Lord, and they weren't going anywhere. My, my. Paul said in Romans 7:21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'm going to tell you what. I've been preaching this gospel for over 31 years, and I've found out that there are always those in the church who are just simply sitting by. They're there. Oh, and it's going to get worse before this sermon gets over. You just stay with me. Listen, I've encountered them where they'd get their feathers ruffled with me. Y'all believe that? I've had folks tell me, well, your preaching just rubs the fur the wrong way. I said, well, turn the cat around, honey. Amen. Hallelujah. But I've had them where they get mad at me and they would do this little passive resistance thing. Y'all ever had it happen to y'all? You'll say, you come in just the best mood and say, well, how are you today? And they say, I'm okay. And that's all you get out of them. You get up preaching and you'll have folks smiling. Some of them be laughing. They'll be amen and they'll be sitting back there. And then you know, I'm here. I'm here. I ain't on board with you, but I'm here. I'm just sitting by, preacher. Just sitting by. You go fill your your offices for the coming year. You say, would you do this? No, no, no. I don't feel led to do that. I'm just here. Somebody else needs to do that. Yeah. Whew. Right. Hello. I'm just sitting by. Mm-hmm. Lord, when the offering plate comes by, and I don't quit preaching and went to meddling now. Offering plate goes by, they'll put the hands on them and go to sitting on them. Amen. Hello. Oh, I can't put nothing in there, preacher. I'm just sitting by. Oh, Lord. They come seen times when folks are worshiping God with amens and prayers and uplifted hands and they're worshiping in song and in sermon and around the altar, but not that much. They just sitting by. Just sitting by. They're the ones that'll tell you why it won't work. Amen. They're the ones that'll tell you why you can't afford it. And why it shouldn't be done that way. Just sitting by. Now how do you get into this position of just sitting by? Well, I'm glad you told me or asked me because the Bible's got an answer. Yes. If you read over in the book of Psalms, the first chapter, just let me read it to you. Verse 1, he answers it. It's how it happens. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's a progression. You don't wind, you don't start out sitting down. You start out walking, but all of a sudden you begin to get in the counsel of the ungodly. Then you find yourself standing in the way of sinners. And then you find yourself seated, just sitting by in the seat of the scornful. Amen. That's good preaching. I know it is. Amen. You want this church to die? Then I'm going to tell you how tonight. Just be guilty of sitting by. When Brother Billy gets up here and gets cranked up and goes to preaching good, everybody else is saying amen. Don't you do it. You just sit by. When folks go to say, woo, hallelujah, and they raise their hand, they say, thank you, Jesus, and the tears start rolling down, and the Holy Spirit moves, and don't you let it affect you. You just sit by. When they have a Bible study or a special event or a fellowship, don't you participate. You just sit by. I tell you what, it'll kill this church. The second thing I want you to see, if you want to kill this church, there's something else you can do. Start trying to reason out everything in your own understanding. You see, in Luke 5:21, and the scribes and the Pharisees, what? Began to reason. Oh, no, Lord. Saying, who is it that which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? You know what? They began to try to figure it out in their mind. They said, who is this guy? Who is he? By what authority is he doing this and saying this? Who can forgive sin except God? If you want to kill this church, then reason out everything in your own understanding. You see, Isaiah 55:8, the Lord says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Let me tell you something. We don't have the mind of Christ. We don't get it. Hello. It don't make sense. Let me tell you what doesn't make sense. The Bible says to give a tenth, I believe, wholly to the Lord. Now, if you sit down and reason that in your own reason, you're going to come up with a real good conclusion. Say, well, wait a minute. I'm only living off of 90% of my income, and I'm not going to be blessed. And I can't make it off 90% because it don't reason out. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you got to step out on faith. And I'm telling you, when you step out on faith and say, God, I don't see the way. I don't understand the way. Lord, it just don't make a bunch of sense to me. The Lord says, come on, follow me, child. You step out, goodness, it don't make good sense. But I'm telling you tonight, it'll work. It'll work. Amen. Sitting by, start reasoning out everything in your own understanding. But number three, if you want to kill this church, then do like they did. Be amazed at God's work and glorify Him, but allow fear to control you. Allow fear to control you. Luke 5:26. And they were all amazed and they glorified God. But look now. And were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. Oh, y'all help me out just a little bit now. Matthew 7:21, the Bible says, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. What are they saying? I'm going to tell you what now. A church is headed downhill fast when its members begin to say, well, you know, God was in that, and I give God the glory for that, but I'm afraid, and finish the sentence however you want to finish it, but I'm afraid our church just ain't ready for that, preacher. That's the problem. You're afraid. Amen. But I'm afraid. Well, Brother Billy, I just feel God all in this saying whatever. But you know what? I'm afraid we just can't afford that at our church. That's the problem. We're afraid. Hello. Amen. Well, Brother Billy, that, you know, I felt God when we went to that conference, or I felt the Spirit when this happened. But you know, I'm afraid that the people in our church just wouldn't take too well to that. Woo! Amen! I'm going to say it or bust. Then maybe the people at that church don't need to be at that church. Maybe they need to be somewhere else for Jesus. I say this all the time, and y'all have heard me say it, and I'll say it till I die. I've had a lot of blessed subtractions in my pastorates. I've had people come to me and say, Brother Aaron, I just don't agree with that, and I'm leaving. And I'll say, bye. Amen. They come up to me and say, Brother Aaron, I think I'm going to go down there to Brother So-and-so's church because I just like the way. And I said, fine, go bless him. I've had all your blessings, I can stay and go bless him a while. Amen. Hallelujah. I've had these preachers, these sarcastic preachers. Pastors and preachers can be sarcastic. Right. Call you on Sunday, Monday morning and say, did you miss any of your members yesterday? Wow. Yeah, y'all been there, haven't you? What they're really saying was, your biggest tither was at my church yesterday. That's what they were saying. And I'm going to get him. You know what they say? Did you miss some? I said, oh, no, tell me who it is. And I've had them tell me who it is. I said, oh, no, I didn't miss them at all. I got three or four more just like them. I'll send you if you want them. Amen. Amen. Well, glory to God. You see, the problem is we get afraid. Oh, we want to do this, but I'm afraid we can't. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Let me tell you something, honey. We need to tackle something so big for God that it's doomed to failure unless Jesus Christ is in it. Hallelujah. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You know why we don't have? It's because we don't believe and trust. Amen. You know why this church ain't falling? You didn't believe it could be. Woo! You know why this choir ain't full every week? You don't believe it can be. Well, preacher, it's always been that way. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Whew. Hallelujah. Man, this is preacher. If I wasn't saved, I'd get saved right now. I wouldn't sit under more of this without getting saved. Man. I'm enjoying my own preaching tonight. Amen. That don't happen all the time. Preachers know. But perfect love casteth out fear. You want this church to die? Then just be guilty of sitting by and trying to reason out everything in your own mind. And by allowing fear to control you. But there's just another way. Start murmuring about everything. Luke 5:29. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" But their scribes and Pharisees, the religious crowd, the church crowd, then why are you affiliating with that bunch? And they began to murmur. Luke 5:33, and they said unto him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" Why does he eat with publicans and sinners, they're asking. Why does John's disciples fast and pray often, and the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours don't, Jesus? You know what they began to do? You've seen them. Most churches could qualify to play on a football team because they got enough holy huddles to get them through the whole season. You know, they'll huddle up in the corner. They'll huddle up on one side of the parking lot. They'll huddle up here. Well, did you hear what Billy did? I just couldn't believe it when Ethel told me that Sarah said, that Fred said, that Henry said, that Louise had said that she saw him doing this. Oh, I just startled me. Who did you? I said, "Papa, did you hear what that deacon did? Oh, did you hear what that old hussy down at that church did?" I just couldn't believe. Did you see that gaudy brooch she had on? I can't believe she went out of the house with that thing on. Well, who died and made her queen? Hello? Help me. Yeah. We get our little holy huddles going and we start murmuring. But I got to give you something right here. This is too good not to give you. And I ain't Pentecostal, but this still is good. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." I want you to hear something tonight. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, said, "Death and life are in the power of this little tongue." You know what he's saying? He said, you can talk it up or you can talk it down. You can talk life into it or you can talk death into it. Well, hallelujah. There's going to be some folks out go out of here tonight and they're going to talk life into this revival meeting. They're going to say, "Woo, you ought to come down there and hear that fool. Then he ain't wrapped too tight, but the Lord showed up." Amen. But there'll be some of you go out and go talk it to death. Yeah, right. Well, you got down that hoot and holler and turn red in the face and run spitting and slobbering. I come to a point in my revival meetings, I about started issuing ponchos and umbrellas for the front row, really. Standard equipment. I just can't. He needs to act dignified. You know what? You'll talk it up or you'll talk it down. It's up to you. Woo, you know what? You can take a preacher like myself that can't preach his way out of a wet paper bag and you get to talking to him. Then amen, preacher. Well, come on, brother. Let us hear it. Tell the truth. Relax. And you know what? I'll begin to believe it because you're talking life into me. Woo! I just haul off and preach. But then again, I can have the same sermon. And I'd preach and you'd sit out there and go, "I think I'm just going to be sitting by. I'll sit this one out, preacher." And then have the audacity to go out and say, "I didn't get nothing out of his sermon." What'd you put into it? Amen. You know what? I don't have many sports that I like, but some of them I do. And I, boy, I tell you what, I got Braves fever years ago when they went from worst to first. And I was sitting in my living room like some of y'all were at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, like I had good sense. And I can still remember when Sid Bream come around and third, and I was up hollering at a TV. You think he can hear me? No. But I was excited. I was, and that boy made it safe. What if I hadn't been there hollering for him? He might not have made it. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, you want a good preacher? Hang him on. You want some good singing? Hang him on. Ooh, I'm going to tell you what, I got a blessing out of y'all tonight too. And I ain't just saying that because but that little boy, y'all better watch him. I enjoyed it all, but that little fella, he just rears back and lets her go. Amen. And I like that. Woo, hallelujah. Listen, you want this church to die? And you just sit by. You reason out everything. And you be amazed, glorified, and then allow fear to control you. And then you start murmuring about everything. And then number 5, be verbally confrontational and combative. Be verbally confrontational and combative. Luke 6:1. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields. And his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, now see, now they done quit the murmuring. They done all that now. They attacking him now. Why do you that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Oh, Lord. Don't miss a chance to be verbally abusive to your preacher. If you want to kill this church, then every Sunday morning you catch him at 11 or 12 or 10:59. Right before he's about to mount the pulpit. And then you go get on to him about something. You go tell him something horrible that's going on in the church. Oh man, that'll just pump him up.
Yeah.
Just right before he's about to come up and preach. So, you know, Sister Sally says she didn't like the way you combed your hair. That'll just fire him up with the Spirit. Yeah. Just tell him, well, Brother Billy, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, I heard one of the members say they heard dead men preach better sermons than you preach. Oh, boy, that fire you up, won't it, brother? Yeah. I say, thank you, Jesus, for letting me be here. Oh, it just kills me. And I got to say this. I don't got to, but I want to. These folks will come running up to you like that, and they'll say, preacher, I hate to be the one to tell you this. This grieves me so. But preacher, there's sin in the church. You know what the preacher wants to say? You old hussy, I know there is because I'm looking at it. Do you think you're revealing something to me I didn't know? They're going to tell you about somebody having an affair, somebody going out and getting drunk. I want to tell them, sister or brother, whoever it is, what's the bigger sin, to go out and get drunk one night and repent over it, or to be a habitual gossip?
Right.
Hello!
Right.
Help me, somebody!
Yeah.
Woo!
Right.
You want to kill this church? This is the easy ways to do it. Just be verbally combative and confront him. I've had church folks who have made brags, made me want to slap them. I'm the evangelist. I can be honest tonight. I don't have to live with them. I got one more night after tonight. But I've had them make brags and say, well, you know, Brother Aaron was my pastor at one time, and he never wondered where I stood on any issue because I always told him. And I said, boy, did you ever. And have you ever noticed that? Come on, say, well, I just had to give him a piece of my mind. Have you ever noticed that people that give away pieces of their mind are always the ones who could least afford to do without any of it? Amen. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
If you want to kill this church, just be verbally combative, abusive. A lot of preachers don't get physically abused, but they get verbally abused. Billy, what else? I think I forgot a few things. What else do you want me to tell them? Oh, yeah, he wanted a raise. I forgot that part. I'm kidding. Billy hadn't talked to me. He hadn't talked to me. I've seen him just as much as you've seen him. He's seen me. You want this church to die and be guilty of sitting by, reasoning everything out and allowing fear to control and murmuring and being verbally confrontational and combative. And then number six, if you want to kill it, be sure you watch and scrutinize everybody's actions and point out when they do something you feel is wrong. In Luke 6:6, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. Now listen to the seventh verse. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him. Oh man, don't that make you want to slap somebody? Because it don't mean they just glanced at it. It means they was sneaking around and they were peeping out from behind bushes and they had their little paparazzi camera, so to speak, and their little notepads taking days and time. They're documenting all of it. They said, well, last Sabbath he healed. Let's see, what is he going to do it again? Is he going to do it? I'm watching. The little birdie's going to click in a minute. Is he going to do it? Ooh, I think he's going to. There he goes. He's going to do it. Yeah. Oh, you know you got that kind in the church.
Right.
I said, did you know you got that kind in the church?
Amen.
They watching and scrutinizing everything.
Yeah.
Jesus knew they were there. You know what Jesus did? I like Jesus. Jesus wasn't a wimp. He said, stick your hand out. Hey, I got to show them something. There's a bunch over there that wants a show. I'm going to give it to them. Stick your hand out, dude. And he stuck it out. And what did he do? He healed him. That's what he did. He healed him. Listen. Sometimes you can be right and still be wrong. Amen. Sometimes somebody may not have exactly the right motive for doing something, but if they're doing the right thing, just leave them alone. Amen. Let me tell you something. You never make your light shine brighter, and I never make mine shine brighter by dimming somebody else's. Amen. The only way you make your light shine brighter and mine, me make mine shine brighter, is to live closer to Jesus and to be more like Him. Hallelujah. And we think if we can watch somebody else and we can point out all their faults, then surely God's going to say, well, you did pretty good. But I got news for you. The standard that we're being judged by is not what everybody else is doing, but it's what God expects of us. Amen. And let me tell you something tonight. And I hope somebody gets this, because I'm getting it. You don't always have to be right.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, it ain't always got to be your way.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Sometimes you just need to sit there and button it. Amen.
Good,
my mama said, my mama's dead and gone to be with Jesus in heaven, but she's still telling me stuff. Because I remember what she said. She said, young man, if you can't say something good about somebody, just don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a whole lot better just to sit there, amen, than it is to open your mouth and mess up. Well, I'm going to give you one more thing tonight because y'all have been a good crowd to preach to tonight. A good crowd to preach to last night. Y'all praying for me. I know y'all. You want to kill this church? Then just be guilty of sitting by, reasoning out, allowing fear to control, murmuring, being verbally confrontational and combative, watching and scrutinizing. But here's number seven. This never happens in a Baptist church. Where's my Methodist folks at? Hold it. God bless y'all. Y'all the only ones that ain't going to have to worry about this in the building. Because this don't ever happen in the Methodist church. It's only the Baptist church that this happens in. If you want to kill it, then you just get mad and start plotting on how you can get your way. I've heard them say, this ain't over. This ain't over with. You may have won this round, but this ain't over with. And you know what? I knew it wasn't. Amen. Sometimes I just thought about killing them, you know. You know, if you kill somebody, you can get forgiven for that. And they'll still let you pastor a church in the Baptist realm if you kill somebody and got forgiveness of it. There's some other things you do and get forgiven, and you can't never pastor again. But if you kill somebody, you can. So, you know, I've just thought about, you know, sometimes just take them out. Go do 7 years, come back. I'd have to do better the second go round. And I'd sure make it easier for the preacher that was following me. Somebody say amen. No, I'm kidding. Y'all know I'm kidding. But listen. In Luke 6:11, he had healed a man with a withered hand. Look what it said. And they were filled with madness. You know what that means in the Greek? That they were filled with madness. They got upset.
Amen.
They got livid over it. Hallelujah. And it says, and they commune one with another. See, y'all thought Baptists invented holy huddles, didn't you? Oh no, scribes and Pharisees and doctors of the law invented holy huddles and commune with one another what they might do to Jesus. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And they were watching. And you know what? They found what they were looking for. You remember what I told you last night? I told you last night you're going to find what you come looking for. If you come looking for a blessing, you're going to find a blessing. If you want to come find a violation of the law, you're going to find that. They were looking. And they found what they was looking for. And from that moment on, they plotted against him. I'm about to close. And I got to tell it. I tell it everywhere I go. May have told it here before. If I've already told this here before, laugh like you've never heard it before in your life. But I'm about to close. And I was going to tell you, I've already called and got the runway lights turned on. And I'm headed down for a landing. But you know the difference between me and Billy Allen? Billy Allen is a helicopter preacher. I'm a 747 preacher. Big difference in the two. A helicopter preacher, what's that? That's a preacher who can announce his text, get in the pulpit, take off and go straight up and just right up to cruising altitude, stay there until he gets through and then come right back down and be through. I admire it. I ain't that way. I'm a big fat 747. And it takes a whole lot of runway to get me up. And I have to expend a lot of fuel to get it cruising altitude. And I don't get to stay there long because then I have to start coming back down. And it takes a lot of runway to get me landed. Amen. I'm long-winged and long-winded. Telling the truth, ain't I? But you know what? I done called the lights. Got landing instructions from the airport. The lights are on and I'm heading this thing in. But I want to close by reminding you tonight. You want this church to die? Well, then here's how you do it. You be guilty of sitting by. You reason out everything in your mind. If it don't make sense in your mind, you don't support it. You be amazed at God's work and you glorify Him, but allow fear to really control you. And you might be sure you murmur about everything. You be verbally confrontational and combative. You watch and scrutinize everybody else's actions and point out when they do something you feel is wrong. And then you get mad. Start plotting how you can make it go your way. That's how you can kill this church. Now you say, Brother Aaron, just suppose on some chance we don't want to kill this church and we want revival. What do we do? Oh, that's real simple. Just do the opposite. Amen. Amen. And that's a Pharisee's guide on how to hinder Jesus or 7 easy steps to killing a church. Amen. Brother Billy, would you come around? Would you close out this service? I've preached, brother. I'm empty. I'm through. I'm clean. I'm done. It's up to you and your people how you close.
One of us need to take and self-examine ourselves. You know, What do we want for our church?
Amen, brother.
Or make it a person. You know, it don't matter whether it's here or where it is. It's the same thing in any church.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Just like Brother Evan said, I heard it. Everyone who preached it, I'm sure it heard it. Well, it's never been done this way before. Mm-hmm. Or this is the way it's always been. Well, we can always make some changes.
Right.
Amen.
Know, I enjoyed yesterday morning. I heard a man say they were looking. They were looking for a pastor, and they had a man come preach. He said, "Well, he was different." He said, "But we need a challenge."
Amen.
We need something different. Yeah. And see, that's where you have to take the outlook of. You know, maybe we need to make changes a lot of times.
Yeah.
And a lot of times churches have tendency to think the change they need to make is always the preacher.
Amen, brother. You told a mouthful. Amen.
You look at the statistics and you look at in Southern Baptists especially. If they stay 2.5-3 years on average, boy, they done pushed the button. And I know even when I was in the nomination, it's about the same.
That's right.
They get them out, bring a new one in, boy, first 2 or 3 months, boy, everybody's 100% behind that new preacher, and then all of a sudden they're right back out.
Mm-hmm.
First Sunday the preacher gets up and preaches on something they don't like to hear.
Come on.
Just like I told my folks here a few weeks ago, it amazes me, preachers get up here and start preaching on what the church considers medicine. He can preach on divorces, running around.
Yeah.
He can preach on getting out here doing things that you're not supposed to do. And they think the preacher's method. They all saw it. Hollywood go make a movie of it and they make the number one show.
Go ahead, brother.
And see, the bad thing about it is, because everyone knows where I'm coming from, most of the people that make that the number one seller are church people.
Right. Yeah, amen.
And like I told the folks here, and he knows Warren Hall years ago, in LaGrange, the old LaGrange Theater, the man that owned it.
Absolutely.
Bunch of the pastors, good old Southern Baptist preachers went to him and said, "We want you to close your theater on Sunday evening and Sunday night." The man said, "I'd be glad to, just as soon as you get your members, start staying away."
Amen.
Because if they stay away and stay where they're supposed to be at, then I couldn't open up.
Yeah,
I had no deal. And see, people, that, I say, I know it's coming from Southern Baptist, but it makes no difference.
Right.
That's the problem. You look statistically speaking in our churches, the biggest crowd generally speaking Sunday morning, Sunday night a little smaller, Wednesday night, you got your cream of the crop usually. That's
amen.
The most right. Churches. Why don't the others come? Why they don't have time? Mm-hmm. What if Jesus hadn't had time to die?
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You know, that's what they have to look at. We're going to have an invitation. Altar's open. Anybody wants to come and pray, I'll be glad to pray with you. But anyone will be.
Amen.
Other preachers will be. Anybody will be. But let the Lord have his way.
307.
Just as